We believe that God has really offered to us that this next year can be a different kind of year in all of our lives. Now, to do that, the tide must change. Because in many of your lives, many of our lives, the tide of adversity, the tide of affliction, the tide of problems, the tide of relationships going against us has really been a buffeting thing for our life this year. But through the power of God, I believe that tide can change. And just like it takes a strength, it takes a force to change the tide. In the natural, it takes a force to change the tide. And I believe that through the power of God, if we can link up with the Mighty One, I believe that tide can change. And I believe that you're on the brink of what could be the greatest year of your life. I believe God wants to change that tide that much. But we have to realize that we have a part in this, or we have a responsibility in this for it to come to pass. And so we're spending the latter part of this year preparing our hearts, preparing our lives to be able to help or to work with that tidal change that God has on the brink of the horizon. So I believe with all of our heart, we've got to tune in with the Spirit. We've got to allow, because the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our lead man. He's our coach. He's the one that's drawing us into that changed experience, that changed life. And so if we will tune in with Him, I believe the Holy Spirit knows how to bring each one of our lives, each one of our families, each one of our health, each one of our finances, whatever the dilemma, I believe the Holy Spirit knows how to work that thing out. And I believe the Holy Spirit can lead us in turning this tide in all of our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. So we come into a place where we've got to be able to hear Him. And we've got to be able to receive from Him. We've got to understand. So during this season especially, it's important that you hear the Lord. That every service, not only every service, but every day in your personal prayer times, but especially as we come together here, that it's not just the song service, it's not just the prayer, it's just not the communion, and it's not just the word that's being preached. That the Holy Spirit, I believe, that's so involved in your life, that has a wonderful plan worked out for each of our lives, I believe we'll be able to hear Him. And I believe that as you hear Him, it's not important that you hear me. What's important is that you hear God. And as you hear the Lord, God will give you direction, me direction. God is our own personal coach in our life. The Holy Spirit will lead each one of us into that place of wonderful change for the glory of God. Because I'm telling you what, the darker darkness gets, the brighter God wants His light to shine. Amen. And God wants His light to shine in all of our lives as the days of darkness are approaching us. So to help us to prepare for that, that's why I believe the Lord has led me in this series that we're on. It's how to live the supernatural. But we're not talking about some weird issue I'm not talking about anything weird. I'm talking about us coming though in each of our lives where that we're aware of the personal work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then we come to a place where literally we can follow Him. It's the will of the Lord that I be led by the Spirit. And so that I come to a personal place where I can be led by God, led by the Holy Spirit into this much richer life. Here again, there's nobody here, there's no one here in any situation that God does not know how to get you out of. You're not facing any dilemma that God does not know how to turn around. So if we can follow the Holy Spirit, and that's what we're given the latter part of this year, for those that have found the following the Holy Spirit to be wonderful in your life, is to bring us to a more enhanced view, enhanced life of that. For some that possibly have not even been aware of the Holy Spirit leading you, that you will become aware and begin to look in those arenas and begin to look in those areas where God will come in and take a hold in your life. Because I tell you what, it's not what you can do for yourself. It's what God's already done for us that matters. And the Holy Spirit being able to put that in each of our lives. Amen? Now, this is the third message in this series. The third truth that we're involved in this morning. The first truth was that it's all about Him. And we've got to understand, it may have been before all about you, and it may try to be all about me, but unless I allow it to be all about Him, there will never be true spiritual success in my life. So it's not about my ministry. It's not about what I can do. It's not about what even God's called me to do. It's not about my health, my wealth, or my joy. But when I will begin to understand that this, I died. When I gave my life to Jesus, I died. And now Jesus now lives in that place. And I realize God wants my life to be all about Him. If I will give my life of caring about what He cares about, I can guarantee you He will give Himself about what I care about. And that's why the Bible says, if I would seek first the kingdom of God, if I would put God first, and if I would concentrate and let my world be about Him. Now, sure, it's going to change my conversation. Sure, instead of talking about what I'm doing all the time, how much money I'm making, what I'm going to be able to turn around, the conversation will switch to Him. What does God want to do in our lives, honey? What does God want to bring change? How's God going to bring this? God's going to come to our rescue. If you will begin to allow your conversation, which exposes our life, to be about Him and not about us, then the first truth of being able to live a supernatural life, we've gotten it. So that's how vitally important. The second truth that we dealt with is I must see God. Because if it's going to be about Him, I've got to be able to see Him in a greater view. My life needs to become a magnifying glass, not of me, but my life needs to become a magnifying glass of God, of how big God is, of how great God is, how strong God is, how merciful God is, how compassionate God is, and what God wants to do. Can you say amen? Amen. When I come to a place to see God big enough to where I can realize God's in control. And that's really by seeing God. When I can see God, where I can trust God to change what the devil tries to do and to turn around my life to literally let Him be the controlling force of my life. Can you say amen? Well, it brings us to the truth this morning. The third truth we're dealing with, I contain God. A simple truth. Would you say that with me? I contain God. Now, even though that's such a simple truth, that's a hard one even for me to say. Because see, when I begin to say that, I think about my frailty. And I want you to know, most of us have lived most of our life in the Old Testament. And then we don't understand why that the greater things of the New Testament, greater revelation, greater riches of the New Testament are not a part of our life. Because we can usually tell that. You can tell that by my conversation when I'm saying, I'm waiting for God to come and help me. Or, God, will you come and anoint me? God, will you come and heal me? That's Old Testament. New Testament says, God says, I'm here in you. If you're born again this morning, God's not just in heaven, but God is in you. And it's not God having to come 3 billion miles to get to you. And so you can quit spending your time looking for God out here and start concentrating on the God that lives in you. The reason most of us don't want to do that because we have held God hostage. We don't want to think about that God's inside of each one of us. Literally, our lack of faith has held God hostage. God desires to do wonderful things in each one of us. God desires His plan to be worked out through our lives. God desires literally to use us. When we come to Jesus, these hands are to be no longer my hands. These hands are to be the hands of the Lord reaching into a lost world. These feet are to be no longer my feet. When I come to Jesus Christ living me, that is the glory that's hoped for. God's glory coming on this earth is dependent upon the recognition of me realizing Jesus is in me. These feet are not my feet, they belong to Jesus. These hands are not my hands, they belong to Jesus. These eyes are not my eyes, they belong to Jesus. Amen. And the more I can realize that, and the more that I can function my life in accordance with, not the God, see, because we're too prone to think like this. Well, if Jesus comes to your law house, what will He find? If you're there, He's there. Do you hear what I'm telling you? It's not Jesus come to your house, so I better get the pornography out of the way. Jesus come to my house, I better watch what I'm watching on TV. That's Old Testament. New Testament says He lives there every day that you live there. And through the lack of our faith, we literally held God hostage. God desiring to do wonderful, powerful, mighty things out through our lives. If I can just let these hands be His hands. If I can let these feet be His feet. If I can let this heart be His heart. If I can let this mind be His mind. God will do great, great things. Amen. So the excitement in life, a lot of us have traded for. We've traded our wealth for literally $2 bills. And we've brought, instead of living God's life, into my life, my ministry, my time, my money, my circumstances, my family. You understand what I'm saying? And literally, we've been bought with a price. Amen? Now, Jesus tried to reveal this. Jesus' life. Now, Jesus' life is vitally important. The life He lived. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when you read the epistles and they are referring back, you're literally reading and you're seeing the life that God wants to live through me. God in heaven, He came down and housed Himself in an earth suit for two major things. One thing is for the death, burial, and resurrection, to die for my sins. But the other thing was to show me how to live a supernatural life. He came to show me how to live a spiritual existence in a planet that has natural beings, that has the enemy that tries to be the God of this world. But Jesus said, I've overcome this world. And so He tries to show us how to live it. That's why it's just so important that I take in fully the life of Jesus and reach out and lay hold on it. So many of us, we still see the life of Jesus as Jesus being that one that's coming to me instead of that one that's living through me. And God says, I want to live through you. I want to do something wonderful through you. All right, John chapter 14, verse 9, it says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you know Him and have seen Him. 9 says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That is all we ask. Then we shall be satisfied. Show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. That is all we ask. Then we shall be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with all of you for so long a time? And do you not recognize and know me yet, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The statement that drove Calvary's force against Christ was the statement. As long as he would have said, I'm a teacher of God. If he would have said, I'm just one of the prophets. I'm just a messenger sent here by God. The world would have accepted it. But when Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. They said, listen to him. He makes himself equal with God. Amen. John 14:10 says, do you not yet believe that I am in the Father? That's what Jesus said. Do you not yet believe I am in the Father, that the Father is in me? Or it says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? What am I telling you? I do not say on my own authority and on my own accord. But the Father who lives continually in me. Notice what Jesus said. The Father lives continually. He said, the Father lives continually. What we fail to realize, that's the powerful word. To realize that God lives continually, continually, Christ is in us. He's not showing up at our door, leaving our house, and when we act better, he comes back. That's not the way the blood covenant works. The covenant of the Lord is that when you gave your heart to Jesus, Jesus moved in. And he's just determined he's going to stay. Amen? And the more continually that I can begin to give recognition to the fact Jesus is in me. The Jesus I need is right here in me. The help that I need is right here in me. I'm not asking the healer to come to me. I'm asking the healer to rise up in me. Can you say amen? The more I can recognize that, the more I can continually give my thought patterns to that. Amen? Or he said, continually. All right, now, the next verse, 11 says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, Jesus said. Believe. Believe that the Father is in me. Jesus is showing us how to live life. He's teaching us how to live a supernatural life. He said, believe that the Father is in me, or else believe for the sake of the very works themselves. At least let these works. Jesus said, believe that he's here. And because I believe that he's here, I'm letting him work through me. Do you understand? So the Lord's bringing us into a thought pattern of being able to live a supernatural life. Really, what the supernatural life is God living through me. It's not me trying to muster up God. It's God allowing the Lord, allowing God to do what he wants to do through my life. Now, in Luke chapter 131, a little lady had a little problem with that same theology. And speaking to Mary, the angel said, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And the angel literally told Mary, Jesus, God, is in you. Well, she said, how should this be? How can this possibly be? That God would be in human flesh? Mary knew her frailty. She knew of her failure. So her question is, how could that be? And I want you to know that's just like us. We know us. And because we know us, then how could we believe that God is in me and God will still flow through me and that God will use me. Maybe if he gives a little warning that he wants to use me, if I'll do right for 2 days, maybe the third day he can use me. But God says, I'm in you. I want to use you. I want your hands to be my hands. I want your feet to be my feet. I want your heart to be my heart. I want you to let me be God in you. Amen. So Mary says, how should this thing be? And then the answer is only one answer to that. There's only one answer. For with God, what? Nothing is impossible with God. We really can't wrap our mind around it. Even the incarnation, we can't get our minds wrapped around it. But how do I get it, my mind wrapped around me that God is in me? And if I will allow God, what I have not been able to change, what I have not been able to do, what I have not been able to muster up, what I have not been able to bring forth, if I will get out of the way and allow the God that is in me to live through me, there's nothing that the God in me can't do. Amen. Simply, I contain God. Masterful statement. Lord, I contain God. Amen. All right, now, Jesus himself said, not only does he live in us, but he said, the kingdom of God is where? So in us. So not only is Jesus in here, but he said, my kingdom, my realm, my authority, my power, all that comprises of my kingdom is in you. Housed in flesh. Supernatural power. Housed in carnal flesh. I contain God. Everybody say that with me again. I contain God. I contain God. Come on, say it with me. I contain God. Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, or don't you know that the body is the home of the Holy Spirit? That's what he said. God gave it you. And that he lives within you. God lives within you, he said. He said, don't you know that? Knock, knock, some of us don't know that. But that's what Paul said. Don't you know that? Don't you know that your body is the home of God? He said, don't you know that? Knock, knock, wake up. He said, don't you know that? Your body is the home of God. Amen? For God has bought you. And that's the part we don't want to. If I began to concentrate on God being in me, I have to also know now God owns me. That when I came to Christ and gave my life to him, I am not my own anymore, the Bible says. I belong to him. So if my conversation has been about, oh, listen, tell you what I'm going to do. Let me talk to you about my ministry. Oh, I see myself preaching to 20,000 people. The problem is myself. And the problem has to be solved. And the solving of that simply is, God bought me. God purchased me with a great price. So then the next part of that verse says, so use every part of your body to give God glory. Use every part of my life and my body to give glory to God. Amen. He has kept this secret. I said in the book of Colossians chapter 1, it says, he has kept this secret for centuries and generations past. The secret. All the centuries, the Moses, the David, the Abraham, what was kept from them was this secret. A mystery. A secret that simply says, but now at last it has pleased him to tell it to those who love him and live for him. If I love him and I live for him, God wants me to know the secret. Amen. And this is the secret, the Bible says. Christ lives in you. And this gives you assurance of the glory of God. Amen? All right, we're going to talk about it just for a few moments here. We're going to talk about me, talk about God in us. How does it feel for God to be in me? How do I tell? How do I sense? If God's in me, then how do I sense God? If I'm making my plans, how do I get the God in me to reveal His plans to me? I need to know if God owns me, if He lives in me, if He's in control of my life, then I need to give myself to schooling. I need to give myself to learning about how He's going to control me. About He wants to live out through me. I need to come to a place to where I'm able. If He owns me, if I don't own myself, if it's not right for me to say, my house, my money, my life. If that's not right anymore. If it's His life, His money, His work, His ministry, if it's all about Him, then I've got to be able to sense Him. I must be able to understand Him. I must be able to know when He's wanting to use these hands. If these are His hands, then I need to be able to understand and know when He wants to use these hands. If these are His feet, I need to know what He wants these feet to do. If this is His mouth, I need to learn when to shut up and let Him talk. Amen? Amen? I need to learn how to live a supernatural life. So I'm going to talk to you just a quick moment about God is in me as. God is in me as. Now God is a master. Jesus is a master storyteller. And that's why that when He created us in the very beginning, He gave us these huge imaginations. He gave us the ability. I can shut my eyes and I can see a story. That's why Jesus and all of His teachings usually call them a parable. He spoke in a story. So where that you and I, using our full faculties for God, I can literally take a story and I can place myself in that story. Now, we do that in children's church. And we do that in the wee classes. But all of a sudden, we just get too smart for God, right? So we quit trying to allow ourselves to be able to be placed. But see, Jesus' words are ever living. I just give myself a moment. And all of a sudden I place myself on a ship in a storm. How many of you are on a ship in a storm right now in your life? Right now in your life, right? I just give myself. I can give myself in my imagination. I can see that ship. And I can see that storm I'm facing. I can hear my cry. My cry goes something like this. Lord, don't you care that I perish? Lord, don't you care that what I'm going through? Lord, do you not know that now I'm facing a storm in my life that has the capabilities of taking me out, taking me down, destroying everything that I've ever wanted? God, don't you care that I perish? Right behind that, I can hear God's ever living word say, oh ye of little faith. Then the next words I can hear, I can literally see that in my mind, can't you? I can see Jesus walk into the bow of that boat. And I can see Jesus say, peace. stay still. Now, I want you to know something. He was on a specific lake in a specific boat with specific people. But I'm here to tell you, His words are ever living. That was my boat. That was my storm. And that was my Jesus speaking to my storm for the glory of God. Do you hear what I'm telling you? His words are ever living. God gave us this wonderful capacity. I can find myself in a brief moment. I can find myself sitting on a well. And I can hear myself just begin to tell the Lord all the complaints in my life. And then I can take a moment, those ever-living words, I can hear Jesus say, "But if you would drink my water, Jerry, it will spring up you in as a well of life-giving water." Lord, you can give life to me. Lord, you can do that. Lord, you can take over in my life. And all the things that I've been chasing, I can hear you and see you tell me, that's not the water that you wanted in my life. That there is a water that can spring up in me, that will be a life-giving water forever. Amen. How many of you can almost see yourself sitting on that well? See, that's the marvelous power that God has given us as believers. Those words are ever living. That's why today I don't have to stop and say, "Jesus, will you come and heal me?" See, because the healer resides in me all the time. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I don't have to say, "Lord, don't you know I'm about to go under financially?" See, because the provider abides in us all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not going to worry and fret. My God never failed me yet. Amen. The power of God in us. All right. Now, the Lord gave us seven pictures. Now, in the next... this week and next week, Jesus drew seven or more pictures to help me understand that I contain God. And in those pictures, he helped me to see that. And if I can begin to relate to God wants me to see God in me as. And so in those seven or more pictures that Jesus drew for me, he's to help me to understand how I contain God. How me as a physical being, I still can't muster it, can some way house the God of the universe for the glory of God. Amen? All right, the first picture, I just want to mention these to you. We're going to talk about them at length as we walk through these for the next couple of weeks. But he referred to me as an earthen vessel. Now, I know you're all about you. And you want to tell me how smart you've become. And how pretty you are. And how you part your hair just in the right place. Let's use the way I feel. See. The truth of the matter. I'm just dust. But I've been fused to glory. Do you hear what I'm telling you? So I don't know what your theology may do with you. But I'm just an earthen vessel. But I tell you what. What this old clay jar houses is wonderful and powerful. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, the Bible says I'm an earthen vessel and I'm full of His glory. That's the way, and we'll talk about that later. They said I'm a temple that houses God. Wow. One of the greatest things that God sees in His word is the worship of temple. It started all the way back. I mean, goes all so far back. You find Abraham and then... You can find taking when he first took his first rock and turned it over and called it Bethel, being the house of God, and understanding that God wanted some way to be with me, in me, communicate with me, talk with me, lead me, guide me, direct me. Then it moves right on to 3 million people around what the Bible calls a tabernacle or a temple. 3 million people, their whole lives ordered and guided and directed every day, every moment of every day, housed around a little spot about 40 feet by 75 feet long. 3 million people looking at that tabernacle and temple of God, knowing that what God was saying with that is, I want to meet with you and I want you to meet with me. I want you to know I can talk with you. I can guide you. I can lead you. I can direct you. And then we go right on to where we see David's, what we call David's tabernacle or David's temple. And we can see 32,000 people standing in front of a tabernacle or a temple with their hands raised and praise going for God, trusting their whole lives to a God that met with him in the temple. We can move a little further and we find Solomon's temple. And in Solomon's temple, God so wanted his children to know, I want to be in you. I want to talk with you. I want to meet with you. I want to guide you. I want to lead you. I don't want you trying to do life by yourself. And all of a sudden we see the pleasure of God come into that temple. And the glory of God so filled that temple that those that were there could not even stand underneath that glory. And then we move a little further. We move into Jesus himself. One of the greatest things that he spoke when he walked out, he said, the word became flesh. And I made my temple, or have tabernacled among you. And then we move right on even into the book of Revelations, where John said, I saw a city. I saw a temple. I see a river. I see a healing. And then we back up to where that under Paul, and when we find God said, you're now my temple. So not only is he revealed, I contain God in my temple, he also revealed it to me as his vineyard. He said, Jerry, he said, I'm the vine and you're my branch. This that flows through you, Jerry, is the thing that will produce this fruit and brings life. So many times we think it's because of the pretty branch. And we want to take the branch, we want to paint it and color it up. And God says, it's not you. It's me flowing in you that changes the things in life. That sap that flowed through us, that flows through us to produce fruit of God, is him. It's his life. So the Lord's telling us, never forget, we're just a stick. Or we're just mud that's been baked into an earth jar. God said, it's me that flows through you that makes a difference in life. He said, you're just my lamp, but it's my oil that burns. The lamp that it's talking about again is an earthen lamp, one made out of mud, that houses that houses the greatness of God. Or he said, I flow through you as a river. I say, oh Lord, look how important I am. He said, you're just dried mud. You're just a mud bank. I'm the river that flows. And Ezekiel said, everywhere that river flows, I will cause it to live, says the Lord. And then he said, you're just my house, but I'm what fills the house. Because the Bible says, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man and seeks for walk through desert places trying to find rest and finds none, he comes back to that same house and finds that house empty. And the Bible says that evil spirit enters back in. But Lord, let the enemy never find me empty. Let me be found full of you, filled up to the brim with you. And the last one I'm just going to mention, which we'll talk about next week at a lot more length. God says, you're my well. So you're the dirt that I dug in. And it is a well that springs up, giving life. So what we do as God's well is not the well, it's not the curb, it's not in the bucket that's important. It's what comes up in the bucket. He said, with joy, you will draw waters out of the well of my salvation. That word salvation is the word Yeshua. Jesus says, with joy, Isaiah said, with joy, you will draw up Jesus into every situation of your life. So what do we give ourselves to? We give ourselves to learning to be better water drawers. I must learn how to draw God up. He's a well inside me. God is there. You may not can see him, but he's in me. He's in you. But where I hope you do see him, it's when I walk through a dilemma of life, I will let the little empty bucket down into that well. And I will draw up out of in me wells of Yeshua, of Jesus. Jesus, I don't know how to turn this thing around. I don't know how to change it. I do, Jerry. Draw me up into it. I'll show you what I can do. Jesus, I don't know how to turn this thing around. You see what the devil said? You see the plot or the plight that the enemy's got me in? Jesus, I can't figure it out. Jerry, you don't have to figure it out. Drop the bucket, son. Drop the bucket. Draw me up into that situation and watch me change it for my glory. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for your sweet presence, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave me alone. You didn't forsake me. You didn't walk off and leave me. But you have came and you reside in my heart. You're making your abode in me. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I'm learning more and more how to get out of the way and let you get in the way of taking care of my life. Lord, you know the things that I'm facing. I have no idea what to do next. But you know everything. You know everything, Lord. You have all power. So, Lord, I drop my bucket into the well that you've made on the inside of me. And Lord, with my faith, I draw you. I draw you up into my situation. I want us, as we leave this morning, I want us to release some situations quickly to the Lord. If you're in, or if you're facing a dilemma or a circumstance or a situation that seemingly you're out of control, I don't know how to control it, you don't know how to turn it around, I want you to quickly stand in this building, and we're going to close this service by learning and reaching to draw Jesus up into our situations, to bring the Lord up into our circumstances. I want to just take a moment. I want you to ask the Lord a couple little questions. I want you to just whisper to Him. He's not 10,000 miles away. He's not 10 million miles away. He's as close as your chest is to you. He's in you. I want you to whisper and ask the Lord this. I want you to say, Lord, can I trust you to take care of me in this situation? Lord, can I trust you to take care of me in this situation? I want you to ask the Lord another question. I want you to whisper to Him there. I want you to say, Lord, can I trust you to come to my rescue? Can I trust you to come? You that are standing, you can sense the presence of the Lord in you. See, the Bible says that His Spirit is to bear witness with our spirit. As a believer, there should be a sense of God letting you know that you can trust Him. As a believer, because His Spirit bears witness with our spirit, there should be in you a sense of, I can trust you, Lord. You'll take care of me. Now, because the Lord has not only made me with the ability to sense His witness in my life, He's also trusted me to be His temple. And that's why, whatever it is you're facing, or whatever it is you're going through, you can take the little pause. And in God's temple, you can raise your hands to heaven. And you can say, God, I don't have to worry about this. I can trust you to rescue me. I can trust you to help me. And I will forever give you glory. Thank you for letting me be your temple. That I can worship you. And thank you. In Jesus' name.